to 1941. Do you remember where you were and what you were doing when you heard about Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, I know where I was. I was in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I was a private in the infantry.
Oh, so you'd enlisted before...
No, I was a corporal. I don't know, something like that.
So, in other words, you enlisted in the military before the Japanese attack?
No, I was drafted in the first draft to leave Columbus, Georgia. I was lucky. I won a lottery.
So what time or month or year was that that you actually...
I was drafted January 8th, 1941.
So was that when they started the draft, like early in 41?
That was the first draft that left Columbus, Georgia, yes.
Really? Do you remember your draft number by any chance?
Well, no, I don't.
So were you training to be an infantryman?
Oh,
Pat?
Yes. I've been in the Army almost a year when Pearl Harbor occurred. I went in on January 8th, and Pearl Harbor was December 7th.
Were you part of any particular division or regiment?
30th Division.
30th Division.
Mm-hmm.
Was that some kind of National Guard? Or
it was a National Guard out there, yeah, from Georgia and Tennessee and South Carolina and North Carolina.
Well, I guess it's a big step from there, but how from there did you end up eventually as a pilot in the Air Corps?
Well, I was in the infantry and had a chance to change over, go through cadet training, so I took advantage of it. See, when I first tried to get in, they needed college graduates, and I wasn't a college graduate, so I couldn't get in the cadets for them before the war. I wasn't smart enough.
So, in other words, I guess as the war went on, they realized they needed a lot of guys, and they dropped that college requirement?
That's correct.
So, in other words, I guess you might have filled out a paper and said, I want to apply to the Army Air Corps and get in to be a pilot. Is that what you did?
Not exactly, but that's close enough.
So, well, when did you actually leave the infantry and enter the Air Corps as a trainee?
Well, that was in about February of 42 when I went to cadet.
And so you started as an aviation cadet and eventually became a second lieutenant?
In January of 43.
So that would have been 43A, correct?
Right.
What particular schools or training bases were you at for your like basic, primary, and advanced flight training?
I went to primary at Jackson, Tennessee, basic at Greenville, Mississippi, and advanced at Mariana, Florida.
Isn't that like in the panhandle of Florida?
Yeah.
Do you remember the particular kind of planes you flew in training?
Flew a PT-17 in primary, a BT-13 in basic, and AT-6 in advanced.
And, I don't know, thinking back, are there any kind of interesting stories or incidents from your training that kind of stand out in your mind?
Nothing in particular.
Kind of straightforward?
Just regular routine training, as far as I can say.
When you graduated, did you specifically want to be a single-engine fighter pilot?
That's what I asked for.
That's what you applied for?
Yeah. I was so lucky and got what we applied for.
How did you get from there to, like, the 355th Fighter Group? Were you sent as an original member of it or a replacement pilot?
Well, when we graduated, we got a few days leave, and I was sent down to Orlando, Florida for the organization of the 355th Fighter Group, and we did incidental flying down there, P-40s, P-39s, and a few things like that. And then when they formed our group, actually moved to the squadron I was in, went to Philadelphia, and we flew P-47s off the Southern Municipal Airport out of Philadelphia.
So out of what's today the Philadelphia International Airport?
I don't know if that's what the name of it is now or not. Right near the Naval Base.
So you flew P-47s out of there?
That's correct.
So in other words, you were with the original contingent of the 355th?
That's correct.
And you said you were in the 358th Squadron?
That's correct. Anyway, it might be interesting to note, I had a brother in the Air Corps, too. He was killed Pacific flying P-39.
I was meaning to ask you about him.
That was my brother. That's correct.
Was he a second lieutenant?
No, he was a major commanding an island.
Do you know what group and squadron he was with?
No, I don't. Not offhand. I've got it down here somewhere in the record, but I don't know right offhand.
By any chance, do you know the day he went down?
He was killed August the 14th.
Of 1943?
Right.
I figured he was related, but I didn't want to ask you till later. So he was a major. He must have been in the service a long time.
He went through pilot training before the draft. Well, maybe not before the draft, but before anything else.
So was he a squadron and group commander?
He was a squadron commander.
Do you know if he was shot down by a Japanese fighter or for weather? Or?
No, it was a very sad story. He was asked to show some things to some PT boats that were new over there. They wanted some practice looking at planes coming out of the sun. And he was flying an old, beat-up P-39 and dove on one of those PT boats when he pulled out, the wing pulled off, and he went in the drink.
And that was August 14th of 43?
That's correct. August the 19th, I believe.
So I guess your family consisted of parents and you and your brother?
And I had another brother. He wasn't old enough to go in.
Well, how old was Morris at that time anyway?
Morris at that time was, he was born in January 1917. He was killed in 1923, so.
Around 26? Yeah.
25, 26, somewhere in there.
So did you have any particular buddies or friends in the 358th that kind of stand out in memory?
No, we were all pretty close.
Do you know when your unit went to England? Do you know what time of year that was or what year?
June
of 43.
Yeah.
And how did you get there? Did you fly over or take a ship or what?
We went over on the Queen Elizabeth.
Do you have any interesting memories of that?
Yeah, I had a very interesting memory. We had a cabin for two and 14 of us in it.
Slightly cramped, huh? Slightly cramped.
Just a little bit crowded.
Oh, boy.
We were a lot less crowded than the enlisted men were.
I guess they were down to below in the hold or something like that?
Probably.
Were you part of a convoy or by yourself, do you remember?
No, Queen Elizabeth went over by itself. He was supposed to have enough speed and maneuverability to do it, made all this trip safely, I think.
Well, how did they get the P-47s over to England? Did they fly them or take them on a ship, or do you know how they got them there?
I really don't.
So, after you arrived in England, do you know the base or bases you went to till you got to your...
We landed on the first on 4th in Scotland, took a train down to Steeple Morden, and that's where we were. The entire time I was there.
Did you ever get to go on any leaves, like to London or any place like?
Yeah.
Any interesting memories of those?
Well, one interesting thing, I took a leave and went down to visit my infantry outfit that was down there below London, and visited with them for a while before. Then I went back to London, went on back to base, and they were shortly thereafter. After that, then I went down. Yeah.
So they were stationed in England also?
Yeah, they were in England at the time.
Before you were shot down and taken prisoner, did you ever consider or think about the idea of being a prisoner of war or being a Jewish prisoner of war?
No.
Oh, it never occurred to you?
No. This kind of thing can't happen to me.
It's not something you think about beforehand?
That's correct. You think about the possibility of getting killed, but of course, I think everybody thinks about that, but I don't think you think about the thought of becoming a PW.
In other words, you think about getting killed or returning, but nothing between?
I think that's normally it, yeah.
Did you like the P-47 as a plane?
Oh, yeah, it was a real good airplane. We were doing escort work.
Did you have your own P-47 assigned to you, like your personal plane?
Yeah.
Did you have a nickname on it or anything like that?
No, I didn't at the time.
I know that the planes had, like, those letter codes in the fuselage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what yours was by any chance?
No, I don't.
How many missions did you put in before you went?
I was on my 13th when I went down. You're lucky.
A little prophetic.
Well, you know, people say, well, it's a damn shame you went down. I said, hell, I don't know. If I'd have got back that day, I might have got killed the next.
On number 14.
That's right. So, ain't no use looking back at it like that.
Do you remember roughly when you flew your first mission, when you started flying combat?
Well, let me see. It must have been along about August.
Oh, August of 43.
Yeah.
And were you ever involved in any kind of dogfights or engagements with Germany?
Well, we were all involved in some dogfights, and well, dogfights or passes or whatever you want to call it.
Did you damage or hit any German planes?
I did that last day.
Could you just describe that last mission in as much detail as you remember?
Well, we took off that morning and went to advanced base and refueled and then took off and flew. We had the last escort in. And we were with the bombers about 5 minutes, 10 minutes before we broke away and started for home. And we broke away. There were four of us together as we came back. And we made a pass at a couple of German fighters. And that was about the size of it, as I recall, except for that one thing where I was coming in at a guy. And I'm pretty sure I got him. I wouldn't swear to it. And then I came out of that by myself, got over Holland. My red light was on. I knew I didn't have enough gas to get home. It was November of 43, and it was cold as hell in the North Sea, so I decided the best thing for me to do was crash land in Holland. The survival time in the North Sea was less than 5 minutes.
Well, the German plane that you got, was it a Focke-Wulf or a Messerschmitt? Do you remember?
No, I think it was ME-210.
A twin-engine plane?
Yeah.
In other words, by the time you got out of that little dogfight, you were all alone away from the other planes.
That's correct.
And was the cloud cover really thick and overcast?
There was quite a bit of undercast.
So you realized that you just didn't want to take the chance of trying to get back over the channel because you'd never make it.
That's correct. Mm. And by the way, you remember that letter you wrote me? You said there was one plane on the 358th, I think he was, 350-something group. I've forgotten what it was. There were three from 355th, I believe you said. That was my wingman and myself, and among two of them.
I have a few from the 356th also.
Group?
Yeah, right. And from the 55th, and they flew P-38s. Actually, there were around 15 fighters lost that day from the 8th Air Force. In other words, did you knew automatically you were over Holland?
Yeah, I knew I was over Holland.
In other words, you weren't completely out of fuel when you crash-landed, I guess.
I was enough so that I knew damn well I couldn't make it.
What was that like? But I'm curious about going through all that. What happened?
Well, at the time, you don't think about all the ramifications. You just do what you got to do. So I saw a field ahead, and I made a wheels up landing ahead of Dyke.
And I guess that stopped the plane.
Came to a screeching sudden halt.
And then what happened?
Well, I got out of the plane, and I took my little thing that's supposed to set the plane on fire, and it didn't work. It's one of those things, I've forgotten what they called it, an incendiary, that you take and strike several times, and it's supposed to fuse it.
And you throw it in the plane?
Throw it in the plane, but it didn't work. So these farmers came up, and one of them says, I will help you escape, what little bit I can understand. So let's do it. So we went out into the woods, and he hit me, said, I'll be back later to get you. And he came back later to get me, and he told me that the Germans were at the house, and if I didn't come back, they would kill everyone but there, and literally get rid of
the whole family.
The whole family. So I went with him, and I carried a hunting knife. We all did in those days. And the reason for the hunting knife was in case the May West blew up, it's something to cricket with. So we went back, and the Germans looked at me and pointed a gun at me and said, "For you, the war is over."
Did they actually say that in English?
Yeah, for you, the war is over.
Well, the countryside where you landed, was it basically flat farmland with a lot of dikes?
It was flat and dominant. I don't know how many dikes were, but there were several.
And was the sky overcast and cloudy and everything?
Golly, I don't remember.
So were these, do you remember the Germans, were they SS soldiers or just regular?
No, they were just regular soldiers.
When you said your wingman also had to crash land. Did you see his plane anywhere?
No, I did not. I found that out later.
But when the Germans took you prisoner, how did you feel at that time? Angry or frustrated or resigned?
No, I was just resigned to the situation at the time. And as instructed, I kept looking for opportunities to escape, but I didn't find it.
So where did the Germans take you, or what did they do with you after
they... They took me to Amsterdam, to a jail house up there, and stayed there two nights, I think, where they took several of us that were there to Dulag Luft in Frankfurt.
Oh, American airmen.
Yeah.
I suppose they interrogated you at Dulag Luft?
They interrogated me at Dulag Luft, and it wasn't too bad. It surprised me a little bit that they knew the name of our intelligence officer in our squadron.
And did they play upon the fact that you were Jewish in any way?
No.
But I guess they had you in solitary?
Yeah.
Do you remember how long you were there by any chance?
About 4 or 5 days, I think. Put a bunch of us on a train and sent us up to Barth. Dulag Luft 1.
And I guess you got to Barth probably in December of 43 then?
That's correct.
So you were there for about a year and a half or so.
That's right.
Quite a bit of time. That makes me wonder, now I read Mr. Kaufman's book. How well did you know him there?
Yeah, I knew him.
Was he in your barrack?
I think we were roommates for a while.
Are there any other particular friends or buddies that you had there?
In the P-Day camp?
Yeah, the guys that kind of stand out in memory?
Yeah, there was Willie Yee from Hawaii, and I've seen him since the war a couple of times. And remember the baseball player Andy Moses? Moses used to play third base. His brother, Wally Moses, was there. And several boys from my old outfit were there, Walter Cossack.
From the 358th?
358th. Roach, Harvard. I'm just trying to think. It's hard to remember after all these years.
I know. It's exactly 50 years.
Yeah.
Actually, 50 years this year, yeah. Okay, you were there a year and a half. Did you have any things or hobbies that you did or anything that you did to try to keep from going stir-crazy with all that free time?
We did everything we could. They had baseball teams, football teams. They had an orchestra there with all instruments provided by the YMCA. We put on plays.
Did you take part in any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
What compound were you in, the South Compound?
I was with the South Compound most of the time. We moved to North Compound 1 when they segregated the Jewish prisoners.
Yeah, that was around January of 45, you think?
I think January or February, I've forgotten exactly.
Well, how did they actually segregate the Jewish guys? Did the Germans come in and say, okay, the Jewish guys have to go, or what?
No, they knew who you were. They said, you and you are going to North Compound 1.
Did the Germans ever specifically tell anybody why they segregated the Jews?
No. We all were of the opinion they were sent into concentration camps. Well, wasn't much we could do about it.
Do you remember the events when you were liberated, what that was like?
Well, the German guard left, and Colonel Zemke, who was our CEO, senior Allied officer, told us to stay put. Some of us did, and some of us didn't. And later on, the Americans came into B-17s, blew us out.
So, in other words, you weren't one of the guys who took off and left. You stayed there.
Well, we walked around the countryside for a while, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you got into the town of Barth and that kind?
That's correct.
Some other guys I've spoken to who were POWs in Barth,
yeah.
They showed me these thick YMCA diaries they got that they wrote.
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh, did you keep one yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Who was your wingman who went down with you that day?
I think it was Jim Perry. No, he was with 357. I can't remember. I forgot whether he was my wingman, I was his. Damn important.
But that was actually your own P-47, so to speak, that you went down in?
I was in somebody else's plane then.
How did you get back to the States, or did they take you?
Well, they flew us out to Camp Lucky Strike. We stayed out. They stayed there for about, I think we were there about 2 weeks. And they fattened us up a good bit. And I came back on a Coast Guard transport. Came into Boston, and then they took the train down to Atlanta, Fort McPherson. Gave us 30 days home, and then went to Miami for redistribution.
So you're just free in Miami to do whatever you wanted?
In Miami, you know, we had a few things to do. And while we were down there, well, before we got down there, the war ended in Japan, too. So they got down there, and they said, you got your choices to accept a promotion, or I said, whoop, I mean, get out, or I said, well, I don't want to hear any alternative. Get out, or I said, that's all I want to hear.
In other words, you didn't want to stay in any longer.
Well, yes, I really did want to stay in, but have a situation at home I needed to look after.
So you went back to Columbus, in other words.
That's right.
And you're here now. So I guess when they were interrogating you in the interrogation center, they kind of knew a lot about your squadron already?
Yes, they did.
Did they know anything about you personally, too, at that time?
If they did, they didn't tell us.
But there was nothing really unusual about their treatment of you there, I guess.
I don't think so.
Do you remember any other Jewish fellows who might have been served in the 355th? Any other names come to mind?
In the 355th or
the 355th or the 358th?
Not offhand, no.
All right. But you never had any difficulty with that aspect of it?
No.
I mean, after the war, I guess you basically lost touch with all these fellows that you served with or knew in the camp?
Well, most of them. I've run several of them. I stayed in reserve for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I ran several of them off and on at various certain places.
Were you a pilot in the reserves?
For a while, we flew T-6s and flew C-47s, anything we could get our hands on. And then I figured I was better off as an administrative officer than I was as a reciprocal engine fighter pilot. Didn't have much need for them, so that's why I went to administrative work.
Have you been to Europe since the war's been over? Ever been
yeah,
to Germany?
Yeah, I went back to Stephen Morton, yeah. My wife and I and another couple were over in England. We went up to Cambridge, and a fellow told us how to get to Stephen Morton. We went out there, and I've forgotten the name of the guy now. He helped take care of the memorial that there is out there. We went out there and looked at it, and mm-hmm. saw the few individual buildings that were still left.
I guess it was mostly overgrown and abandoned?
Most of it was, yeah.
When did you go there? Do you know the year?
It was 3 years ago.
That fellow, Leonard Margolis, do you remember anything about
Leo
him?
Leo Margolian.
Do you remember anything about him?
He was a heck of a nice guy, real good soldier.
There was like a Milton Plattner.
I knew Milton Plattner very well.
I guess you've lost touch with him?
Yeah.
And Red Carmel?
I remember him very well. I don't know what happened to him.
And there's a Milton Kaplan.
I remember Kaplan.
And Martin Feingold.
I don't remember him. I remember Sax Marks in Monroe, Louisiana. I've been in touch with him 2 or 3 times.
Somebody said they nicknamed him Sackman or something like
that's
that.
That's correct.
There's another name that comes to mind, Richard Klein. He was a P-51 pilot.
Don't remember him right offhand.
Do you remember anything about any Jewish religious services in Barth?
No, we didn't have any that I know of.